morning. The Ephesians chapter 6. This will conclude our study of Ephesians during this time. Okay, Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them, and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. And I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Amen. Now, sometimes, we mentioned a little bit yesterday in my message, but sometimes the chapter and verse headings are a little bit off. You know, if you can tell from last Saturday when we met and went through Ephesians 5, the thought continues on straight through Ephesians 6. So, you know, personally, I would have probably put chapter or verse 10 to be verse 1 of chapter 6, because it's totally two different thoughts. But somehow the guys that framed the verses and chapters, they saw fit to put this together. Because, you know, the end of chapter 5, it talks about relationships again. Remember, the first part, right, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, was your position in Christ, who you are as a believer in Christ. Chapter 4, 5, and 6 was how you should live your life because you are in Christ. And so now he's dealing with personal relationships. You know, so this is how you live your life as a Gentile. The easy way, actually, if you really want to break down Ephesians 6, is this whole idea of walking. And, you know, Watchman Nee actually did his commentary on Ephesians, you know, called Sit, Stand, Walk. And, you know, talking about the different kind of emphases that's in the book of Ephesians. But this whole idea of walk. And so in chapter 4, which starts the new discourse, we have the worthy walk, right? The first part of chapter 4. The second part of chapter 4 is the different walk. Then chapter 5, from one to the first part, is the loving walk. And then later on, from verse 15 on through 6-9, is the wise walk. You know, and then actually, and then verse 10 later on is the Christian walk as warfare. And so we see how he kind of framed this whole idea of walking with the Lord, you know, in this. And, you know, yesterday I talked about hodos, right, the way. And he's drawing from that as well. You can tell this is how you walk. This is the way that you ought to walk. You know, and he's kind of leading you into that discourse. And so the end of chapter 5, we have, you know, this idea that this marriage of Christ and the church. And because Christ is married to the church, husbands and wives, you ought to live different lives. You know, and he's making that very, very simple distinction for us. And so, you know, as a man, you ought to love your wife as Christ loves the church. You know, as a woman, that you ought to be subject to your husband as the church is subject to Christ. You know, and so he draws it. And then, so he continues on. And now that was husband and wife roles, and now he gets to children and parents, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because it is the only good thing, right? It says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. Out of the 10 commandments that God gave to Moses on Sinai, only one of them actually has a return benefit for us that we can experience in this life. I mean, all the other ones, You know, we can experience, obviously, but one thing, he says, that if you honor your mother and your father, he says, this life that you live here on earth will be blessed, right? It will be right with you. You know, it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. You know, and if you simply, out of all the other commandments, right, if you honor your mother and father, there's a blessing that comes from that. Just a God-given blessing, spiritual blessing from on high, that will not only affect your relationship with your parents, but that affects your life and how you live. You know, this very simple thing of honoring your mother and father is so key in our lives. You know, it really defines many of our relationships. You know, you could probably, you know, if people are struggling in relationships, you know, personal relationship with their friends, colleagues, or whatnot, you can almost always trace it back to that person's relationship with their parents. You know, and we can see how this one relationship, all relationships, just about, you can't really say all, most relationships actually flow from this one central relationship that we have with our mothers and fathers, right? And so God is telling us, look, honor them, you know, because, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of times, remember when God tells us to do things, he doesn't tell us to do things to spite us or to make our lives difficult. He does it understanding that because out of this relationship, every relationship that you'll have in your life will flow out of that. You know, you see people that have great relationship with their mothers and fathers, you know, I guarantee you they have great relationships with people around them. You know, if they just exist in a house together, you know, and they just live together in a house and there's not really much communication, or, you know, then, you know, that's going to parlay into their other relationships they have, especially when they get into their marriage, you know, get into their things. You know, you'd be surprised, you know, what kind of transference happens. You know, some of you guys know my little nephew, Matthew, and God gave me so much insight. You know, they lived with me for about 2.5 years. You know, I invited them into my house, and, you know, like, you know, sorry, I moved into the small bedroom, let them have the master bedroom, and, you know, and we lived there. And I got to see how my brother-in-law and how Matthew and how they interact. And my brother-in-law is not a Christian, obviously, and he's a very negative person. You know, he grew up Catholic, and but no, not very nominal. And he's got this bitterness towards God and toward the church. And he has this incredible bitterness towards his parents, you know. And you know how it manifests? You know how I actually knew that? Because Matthew is incredibly disrespectful to his father. You know, and this is something I always say, Matthew, don't do that, you know, kind of thing. But to me and to my sister, right, it's just, he's like an angel. You know, whatever I say, whatever my wife say, or my sister says, you know, I mean, not all time, but he's pretty obedient. He doesn't talk back, or, you know, there's not that rebellious streak. But my brother-in-law, as soon as he says something, no, what you talking about? And I don't want to do this, you know. And it's like, it's not just disobedience, but it's attitude that comes up, you know. And I actually, during that time, I've been really spending a lot of time talking about, you know, praying about sonship and fatherhood and the father heart of God and these things. I recognize, man, you know, basically my brother-in-law basically transferred his sin, you know, transferred his disobedience to his own son, you know, but he didn't even recognize it, you know. And I just felt like, man, if he would reconcile with his parents, I think his son would be reconciled to him. You know, I think it was just this natural overflow. And, you know, you can see how that happens. You know, you see people in their relationships with their parents, you know, that have, you know, there's certain issues at hand. They get married, those same things happen with their spouses. It's this incredible thing. And so God says, honor your mother and your father. You know, he makes it really clear to us, you know, obey your parents. And the word here in verse 1, I want you to catch this. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, that's a very key phrase. You know, it doesn't mean that if your parents are not in the Lord, you know, they're not following Jesus, that you don't obey them. But if there's a situation that comes, you know, that you either have to choose between God's commands, you know, God's righteousness, and your parents, right, God comes first, right? So obey your parents in the Lord. And then he goes on to say, honor your parents, right? You know, and there's a difference between obeying and honoring. Sometimes you can disobey your parents and yet still honor them. Do you know what I mean? You know, and so if they ask you to do something that's illegal, you know, if they ask you to do something that's not biblical, you know, you have the right as a child, obviously, to say, you know, mom, dad, let's talk about this for a little bit, right? And you can still honor them, but you may not necessarily have to obey them in that way, right? Obey your parents in the Lord. Honor them always, Right? Do you see how Paul is drawing this, you know, conclusion? You know, some people think a lot of times that they're bound by the scriptures. You know what I mean? Like, I have to do this because the Bible says so. I don't want to do it. I know it's wrong morally and all these things. No, God will never ask you to do something that contradicts His word, right? That contradicts, you know, righteous laws, you know, in some ways. You know what I mean? It says the commandments of God are not burdensome. You know, and so you have to take that in heart. Obey your parents, right, in the Lord, for this is right. And always honor your parents. He didn't say honor your parents in the Lord, right? It says always honor your parents, right? For this is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. You know, and this is, I mean, this is a great, great commandment for us to really walk in. You know, and I really do pray that your relationship with your parents is just solid. You know, and if it's not, man, I would really suggest that you make it right. You do everything you can do. You know, and not just, you know, obviously because God says so, right? And this, it'll just be good for our lives. But trust me, right? As you start a family, as you get married, as these things happen in your life, right? If you don't take care of these central issues, especially with your parents, you will reap the consequences of that eventually. You know, and it'll come very subtly, you know, and you'll see this disconnection. You'll have kids yourself. Your kids are going to be disobedient to you, man. Give you attitude, you know, kind of thing. And you can't really blame your kids. It's just like, that's my fault. You know, I mean, you know, when I pray for our kids, you know, that my wife and I will eventually have in the future, man, most of my time, I don't really pray necessarily that I'll be a great father in these things. I ask God to forgive me of my sins. You know, if I'm going to be really honest, I ask the Lord to really cleanse me, and that whatever generational spirit or curse or whatever, that I don't heap that on my own children. You know, that's pretty much my prayer life in relation to my kids. Of course, I say, God, you know, I want to be a good father. You know, we want to be good parents and those things. But that's a very short prayer, trust me. The rest of the prayer is, oh, God, forgive me for the way I've treated my dad and my mother and for my attitudes, and Lord, totally cleanse me. Let me really know what it is to honor. And I know that kind of prayer will reap eternal benefits for my own children later on, and then their children, and their children, you know, if the Lord tarry. You know, and so we need to be aware of that in his relationships, right? And I really like the way Paul really structures it, because, you know, he talks about, okay, as a Christian, you do this, right? And then he really hits it home, and he talks about relationships, right? So this is how you walk as a husband and wife. This is how you walk as a parent and a child. Right? And so, you know, he goes to the children first. He says, children, you got to obey. And then he turns around and says, fathers, don't provoke your children now. You know, so it's not just a one-way street. You know what I mean? It would have been unfair, like even in chapter 5, if Paul were to say, you know, wives, submit to your husbands, and then just moved on. You know what I mean? That's just so unfair. And so he comes back, and he's so fair when he writes. He says, children, obey, and fathers, don't provoke your children. You know, bless them. You know, bring them up, you know, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You know, I mean, and so, who loves us more than the Lord does? No one, right? So he's basically saying, love your children, you know, with the same love that the Lord has for them. You know, and so it's the same thing he's talking about the other chapter 4. And then he goes on, and then he gets to the other kind of important relationship during this time. Slaves, be obedient, right, to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Notice he uses that phrase there, according to the flesh. Because Paul knows surely that your master is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He's your master. You have these other little masters. They're just in the flesh. You know, they're just here on earth. You know, so just because, you know, his whole thing is you already have to obey the master. So just obey the master here. You know, it's like, it's not a big deal, right? I mean, you know, I think the greater burden is to obey the master in heaven. And so, okay, so the little thing, yeah, just obey these guys that are here on earth. You know, make sure. And when you serve them, you know, serve them as you are serving the Lord. You know, like, if you really think about it, if we lived our lives in such a way that the way we treated other people was the way that we treated the Lord, now we'd have a blessed life. You know what I mean? You know, like, you know, later on, you know, Matthew will talk about, you know, when you did these to the least of these, you've done it unto me. You know, if we really had that attitude, you know, and I'll be the first one to say, that's not really my attitude. You know, and it wouldn't it be, I mean, I think we would live such blessed lives if we had that kind of thought, that, you know, the verse there, in verse 7, with goodwill render service as to the Lord, not to man. You know, and so when I care for someone, right, I do it unto God. You know, when I love someone, I do it unto God. When I give to someone, I do it unto the Lord. You know, and if we really had that attitude, you know, that's why you could actually be kind to your enemies. Do you know what I mean? Because you're rendering it to the Lord. You know, you could actually smile genuinely, you know, and to someone that hates your guts, you know, and be respectful in some ways because you're rendering it to the Lord. You know, and it kind of just totally changes our mindset. You know, you may have that person at your work or, you know, someone in your family that just irks you the wrong way. You know, you can really be kind to that person and you can forgive that person because you do it unto the Lord. You know, that whole idea of unto the Lord, right, changes everything. You know what I mean? I mean, it changes, you know, our whole mindset. It changes the way we live our lives. You know, and then he turns and says to the master, you know, Master, do the same things to them, right? You know, so it's not just one-way street. It's a two-way street. Bless them as well, right? Don't threaten them anymore, you know, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven. You know, kind of like you think you're in charge on earth, but come on now, your master's in heaven, and you're going to have to pay him. You know what I mean? You're mean to this slave, man, you know, you're just a slave to the master in heaven. You know, do you see how he twists? He doesn't twist, but he really puts a right angle on our relationships. You know, and even on power relationships, you know, because a lot of times, you know, if you, the second person that he mentions, you know, if you look at relationships that way, it has the power. The husband in some ways has the power. The parent has the power. The master has the power. And he always twists that around, or turns that around, I should say. Twist sounds more evil. He turns that around, you know, and he says, look, he's your master, right? He's really your husband. You know, he's really your parent. You know what I mean? Even though you're a parent, he's your parent. Even though you're the husband, he's your husband. You know, even though you're the master, he's your master. You know, and he turns it around so skillfully, you know, that it has the person say, okay, yes, I just give up. You know, I need to do this thing, right? And so this is a really great discourse on relationship. And then in terms of the walk, this is the walk as warfare, right? Verse 10, and he finishes off this whole thing. And he says, finally, right? Everything else is how you should live your life. And now he gives us a glimpse into the spiritual realm of things, right? And this is the life, the walk that you have is going to be warfare, right? It's going to be filled with battles. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Whose might? His might. Not ours. You know, not our abilities, not our intellect, you know, not our capabilities, you know, not any of these things. The strength that we have is our reliance and dependence upon him. You know, Zechariah, right? You know, it says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You know, and we have to continue to remind ourselves, right? Or else, you know, like according to what we talked about yesterday, or else we walk and we'll walk into self-sufficiency. We'll begin to walk into overconfidence, you know, self-confidence. And that leads to the road to destruction. You know, it says, be strong in the Lord, right, in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You know, a lot of times, I mean, we fall victim to this all the time. You know, because sometimes we feel like God's given us a gift, you know, or God's blessed us in some way or something. And then all of a sudden, we'll feel like, you know, I got something. And we go forward. But it's always his strength. It's always his might. You know, and a lot of times, you know, we'll struggle in our Christian lives until we come back to that place. And then God says, hey, it was me all along. And then we go, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, sorry, God. You know, and then we get to walk with the Lord again. You know, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Right? Schemes and strongholds are different. Right? I'll talk about that next week. You know, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Right? We said it 2 weeks ago, right? That person that hates you, it's not a person. Right? It's not flesh and blood. You know, whatever, you know, is going on, it doesn't have a name, right? It's a spirit that's at work, you know, but it's against rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, you know. And so some theologians believe that Paul is actually just laying out for us this malevolent hierarchy. You know, there's, you know, powers, you know, principalities, world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness. You know, so he's talking about in some ways maybe territorial spirits. you know, world forces, you know, being, you know, spirits that cover over nations, you know, like in Daniel 10, we talked about the prince of the, you know, Persia, you know, and these kind of things. And so, you know, different, you know, like this hierarchy that's at work. And he's saying, this is who you're battling against. Yeah, that personal demon there, but that demon is controlled by something else, another power, and that's controlled by another principality, and that's controlled by Satan. You know, and we see how this all kind of, you know, goes alongside. And so he says, therefore, since there is a warfare going on, since there's a battle going on, take up the full armor of God. He says it again, right? He repeats himself. He just said a couple verses before, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand, stand firm. Actually, this phrase, 13 and 14, is one complete thought all the way through. You know, the phrase there, and I really like the way Paul does it, says, when you've done everything to stand firm, stand firm. You know what I mean? It's like, what? What are you talking about, right? And he's basically saying, look, you've done everything you possibly could to stand firm, so go even further and stand firmer. You know, that's basically the thought, right? You know, it's like, okay, you've done all these things, okay, stand firm. It's almost like, you know, other passage says, you know, when all you've done is hope. You know, you're like, what are you talking about, Paul, right? And he's saying, basically he's saying there's always will be more resources to you, to us. When you've done everything to stand firm. Why? Because we have access to God who is eternal, right? Who is infinite. And our resources are infinite before Him. So even when you've done everything, even though we've filled to the tilt, there's always more from God, right? When you've done everything to stand firm, you know, having girded your loins. I like this translation better than the belt of truth. You know, a belt, what the heck's a belt, right? I mean, I have no idea. You gird your loins with truth. You know, and you know, I'm just going to break these down just a little bit, just really simple thoughts, right? Our loins, right, are the very means by which we can reproduce, right? I mean, that's where all our reproduction comes from. And so he's basically saying, you gird your loins with truth. You always reproduce truth. You know, and you know, you don't have to draw this all out, but when I read this, you know, a lot of times I think about evangelism. You know, you're always speak the truth, always reproduce truth. You know, let's be the standard that you know, in terms of our reproduction, that it's about truth, right? You know, and then having put on the breastplate of righteousness, right? Our righteousness, the breastplate meaning covering the heart and the organs, you know, our feelings, our emotions, and whatnot. And it says protect those things with righteousness, right? With God's holiness. You know, Psalm 119, right? How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Thy word I've hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Right? How can we keep our emotions? How can we keep these things in check? Right? The breastplate of righteousness that protects our emotions. How is it going to happen? It's going to be with God's holiness. Right? His righteousness. Right? That covers us in that way. All right? It continues on. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Right, that we're always to be peacemakers, right? Not just peacekeepers, but peacemakers. Right? In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Right? Here's, you know, the shield, and what is it? It's faith. What destroys the attacks of the enemy? It's faith. Right? You know, all through when Jesus is walking on, oh, your faith has saved you. You know, your faith has made you well. You know, your faith is healed. You go, your faith is great. You know, it's this element of faith. You know, and when we stand up in faith as believers, we destroy every work of the devil in our lives. You know, the enemy, you know, wants you to look at your present circumstances and say, look, your life is going to the crapper. You know, all these things are happening. God's like, and you just take that step of faith. No, my Lord will protect me. And the enemy, okay, what can I do to that? Right? There's this incredible element of faith. You know, and this is, I'll be honest, this is something that has been a real mystery to me in a lot of ways. You know, because in some ways, people that can harness this faith, you know, and this is kind of a mystery to me. People that can harness their faith, they may live like lives that are not the greatest lives, but for some reason, God really blesses them. You know what I mean? I mean, I've had a lot of opportunity to spend time, you know, in the past with some of the greatest, you know, figures of Christianity in our time right now. You know, and especially amongst the charismatic realm. You know, in the circles that I've been in, you know, we got to rub shoulders and spend time and have lunches and do all these things. And, you know, and to be honest, at the conclusion of our times, I usually leave pretty unimpressed. There's only been a few times where I felt like, wow, this guy's incredible. You know, and not just on stage, but behind the curtain. You know, man, this dude is just, wow. You know, and there have been those moments, but a lot of times you spend a little time with them, and you kind of walk away and like, man, God, if you could use that guy, you could use anybody. You know what I mean? But when they're on stage, man, the most incredible things happen. Signs and wonders and, you know, amazing things, you know, because we think about integrity and we think about, the character and all these things, and we just assume that character, you know, begets gifting. But, you know, a lot of times it doesn't work that way, you know, and my simple conclusion was, you know, and of course I'm still thinking about this, and this is one thing that if you think, okay, Pastor Sam, what do you talk about with your friends? This is the kind of stuff we talk about amongst ourselves, you know, it's this idea that because they were able to harness faith, and a lot of times I begin to see that in their early life, they had an incredible encounter with God or encounters with God, and they were able to harness this incredible faith, and it's unbending in their lives. And because of that faith, there's power that flows from that. Now, of course, if their character and their integrity is not in check, right, they're going to, at the end, you know, to the course of their life, they're not going to finish well. You know, and I mean, that's a simple case. If you go all throughout church history, a lot of people where their character didn't match their gifting, right, that they didn't finish well. In fact, a lot of them finished in apostasy, you know, and finished away from the Lord. And, you know, God had used them incredibly in their lives, you know. But there's this element of faith, you know, because they were able to harness it. They had these experiences with it, and it was a surety in their life. And, man, just incredible things happened. You know, and so when we harness this faith, when we have this faith secure in our lives, we're able to break aside. We're able to, you know, every missile of the enemy, every attack, every accusation, everything the enemy could throw at our way, just gets blocked right on the spot. It's faith, right? There's just something so precious about faith, you know, so precious about trusting God. You know, for so many different areas of our life. And this is something, the great thing is we will always grow in faith. You know what I mean? We'll never get to that place where, oh man, we've arrived, you know? We'll always continue to grow, but there's this faith that is our defensive shield against the enemy. You know, and whatever the enemy throws our way, we bring our faith to action, right? And he can't touch us, right? There's nothing he can do. You know, and he says, and take the helmet of salvation. Right, the helmet is right what we put on our heads. We can say it just covers our mind, you know. And he's saying the helmet of salvation. Know that you're saved. Know who you are in Christ. Know that you belong to Him. You know, out of that knowing, right, will flow life. You know, into our lives. You know, incredible blessing into us. And in the same way, right, he says here, right, put the full armor of God on. You know, one of my kind of commentaries on the church these days is that a lot of believers, you know, we only have helmets. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I'm saved. That's all I need. This faith thing, you know, the whole idea of discipleship, the breastplate, I don't need anything like that. You know, that's as ridiculous as if we walked out of this room, you know, and Kenny stripped out to his clothes, right? Nothing on. He's got a hat on. He walks outside. You think that guy's an idiot. You know, that guy's, what a fool. That guy's going to get killed. You know, but the simple fact is most Christians, all they have is a helmet of salvation. You know, oh, I'm saved. That's all I need. You know, and that's why they're losing the battle. Right? That's why the enemy is having a field day with them all the time. You know, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? The only offensive weapon. You know, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the word there is the word rhema, right? The spoken Word of God. That's why we need to understand Scripture. When we speak these words out, when we speak Scripture out, when we speak out the thoughts of God, it's our offensive weapon, right? And it just destroys and chops the enemy up. Remember, Jesus is being tempted. It is written. It is written. It is written, right? It's the sword of the Spirit, the spoken Word of God that comes out. You know, when you're going through situations in your life and you're struggling with certain things, let the Scripture inside of you be released. Speak that thing out. It's the sword of the Spirit. See, for me personally, I don't just want to shield. I don't want to just block the darts of the enemy. I want to kill the enemy. You know what I mean? I want to annihilate the enemy in my life. You know, I don't want to sit there and be defensive my whole life, right? You know, for me, I've always, you know, the best defense is a great offense. You know, some of you guys that play basketball with me, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You know, be aggressive. Go for it. You know, and he says, this is the sword of the Spirit, you know, which is the Word of God. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Pray on behalf, you know, I forgot the first part, 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. He says it here again, right? Later on, he'll say, you know, pray without ceasing, right? But pray at all times in the Spirit. You know, every chance you get, be in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. You know, most theologians, you know, believe that he's talking about tongues, right? But not some actually deviate a little bit. Tongues can be one that would be the gift of tongues, but a lot of it is just basically talking about a prayer language that each of us have. You know, not everyone may have the gift of tongues, you know, per se, but I believe every believer has access to a prayer language, you know, and it's kind of two different things. You know, when we talk about spiritual gifts, we'll get a little more into that. You know, but God has given every single one of us a prayer language, you know, and so we need to activate that in our life. And when we do that, we can pray at all times in the Spirit. You know, I mean, just you know, going to work, you know, I mean, you really can. You can train your mind and your spirit to be praying all the time. And then later on, this is prayer. He's asking them, you know, pray for me. You know, pray that the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. You know, and I'm ambassador in chains. And you know, the end of it all is just kind of a closing salutation for his people. Amen. Well, let's close our eyes today. I hope you enjoyed Ephesians. It's a good book. I want to challenge you today to go before the Lord, especially in the area of your relationship with your parents. Probably the foundational relationship, the first relationship that you ever had. Are you doing all that you can do for this relationship to grow, to bless? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let Him impress upon you the importance of your relationship with your parents. And let Him give you strategies how to make those relationships go deeper. Now, I know we all love our parents. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an honoring and a submitting. In a lot of ways, it goes beyond love. You want to be effective in spiritual warfare? Shore up your relationships. Let's just go before the Lord and let's just ask Him to speak to us about that area of our lives.